I'd like us to continue where Courtney has taken us into the scene. I'd like us to do something different for the sermon today. I'd like us to feel what Mary felt. I'd like us to move from our heads to our hearts in this sermon together. I'd like us to express to Jesus how we feel about him. I'd like us to forget about everything else, forget about the game, grateful for how it went eventually. I'd like us to feel this morning a sense of worship, pouring ourselves out as Courtney has led us already. I want to talk to you guys out there especially. I know you get inspired by challenges. You get inspired by the idea of picking up your cross and following, the call to discipleship, the courage to follow. All that's great. But today I want us to set that aside and I want us to feel a sense of worship. To ask the Holy Spirit to come and touch us and break open our alabaster jars. To move from here to here. To have a sense of bowing before God, before Jesus in this worship service. This story is told in all four Gospels. Matthew and Mark are almost word for word identical. Luke has a longer version in a different context. John's Gospel, the unidentified woman in Matthew is identified in John's Gospel as Mary, as Courtney indicated. Here's the scripture that we're going to live into and feel today. Can you do that with me? Feel this text? While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She's done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. I tell you the truth, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." I could safely say I wouldn't have done it. Would you? I wouldn't have taken that expensive jar made of alabaster, filled with expensive perfume-scented oil, and wasted it like that. I wouldn't have done it. I still have a bottle of cologne that I've had for 15 years in my bathroom medicine cabinet. I just don't use that stuff very often. Too practical, too realistic, too calculated, too reasonable, too restrained, too cold. Like clothes, use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without. Midwestern practicality. What's your excuse? Maybe it's just a guy thing. But I wouldn't have done it, would you? Maybe this was a woman's thing. Even then it seemed extreme. If anyone should have been expressive of their appreciation, it would have been Simon. This isn't just any Simon. It's not Simon Peter. It's not Simon, son of Jonah. Matthew tells us it's Simon the leper. That is to say, Simon who was the leper. You remember when we first met him. He wasn't called Simon by name, but after Jesus finished the Sermon on the Mount, he came down from the mountain and immediately a man came running up to him, knelt down, and he was filled with leprosy. He said, "If you will, would you heal me?" And Jesus healed him on the spot. His life was changed forever. That's Simon the leper, who used to be the leper. Now it became a badge of honor. He's in an instant no longer an outcast, no longer estranged, no longer set aside, no longer isolated, living in fear. No longer alone. Yesterday, David and some of the folks from the Friday night service were passing out bottles of water at a gas station and talking with people. And one guy came up to them and One of you sent me this email, and he said, I don't know that I could go to your church. He said, why? I said, well, I was asked not to come back to the church I used to go to. Why? Because of all the tattoos on my arms. They said, come on. Come to Trinity. We hope Ray will be here this morning. Simon was like that. But now Simon was changed. It was different. Simon. Now 3 years later, he has a home in Bethany, 6 miles east of Jerusalem, just over the hill from Jerusalem. And Jesus is a guest in his house. If anyone should have expressed extravagant acts of appreciation on Jesus, it should have been Simon, but he didn't. Well, maybe he did quietly on another occasion. Maybe he showed his gratitude somehow. Or maybe like me and perhaps like you, he just got busy living, working, taking care of responsibilities, getting by, preoccupied, too busy, worried about the economy, worried about unemployment, health care reform, housing market, and so preoccupied in my own little world, I forgot about the one who changed my life. Too awkward. How do guys do this? How do guys express a deep love and appreciation? We're not very good at it, are we? We can hug, but we always give 3 pats just to make sure nobody thinks we're strange or different. Or maybe Simon didn't understand the moment. The intensity, the enormity of the weight Jesus was carrying. Think about it. Simon should have seen it. The tension between Jesus and the religious authorities, so strong, so thick, you could cut it with a knife. His claims about himself, his huge following, his teachings, all were driving the opposition to a fever pitch. He senses that his time is near. He even announces that at Passover he would be handed over and crucified. He said those words. How could they have missed it? And so he needs a break. And so he goes to where he's often gone, outside the city of Jerusalem, 6 miles away, to his haven, his oasis, Bethany, where Lazarus and Mary and Martha and now Simon, and they meet in his house and gathered with closest friends. And so Simon the leper is glad to have Jesus. It's like old times. And he maybe forgets. He forgets. He shouldn't. He didn't get it. Simon the leper wasn't alone in this. The disciples didn't get it either. They didn't realize or understand. Never mind that they had been with Jesus every day almost for the last 3 years. They knew what was coming. He had told them. And yet, maybe they were in denial. Maybe they didn't want to face the reality. They couldn't deal with the fact that Jesus would likely be taken from them and die a difficult death. Or maybe they forgot that Jesus has feelings. Do you ever do that? I mean, they had seen Jesus do such miraculous things. They'd seen him heal people. He healed Simon, healed the masses. The woman with the issue of blood, the centurion's son, he fed the 5,000, he walked on water, he calmed the storm, he raised Lazarus from the dead, he turned water into wine, he'd given sight to the blind. He was utterly amazing. He was their leader, their teacher, rabbi. Did he have feelings too? We do that to people, don't we? I did it to my parents. They're parents. They're not real people. You've probably done it too. We have feelings. We do it to our leaders. We do it to people we respect. And here's Jesus, the divine Son of God, rose from the dead, King of kings and Lord of lords, human too with feelings. And sometimes I act and think and do things that must break his heart. Do you? Or like Simon and the 12, I'm just oblivious. I don't get it. I have an opportunity to do a beautiful thing for Jesus, and it never enters my mind. How about you? Or maybe they were just too cold, calculating, rational. Too much in their heads and not enough in their hearts. How else can we explain their reaction to Mary's pouring out this expensive oil on his head? They were indignant. Can you believe it? Not only did they just miss it, they were indignant that someone would express such extravagant love to the one who gave them life. They didn't know what to do. They were indignant that this one who had cared for thousands was now receiving loving care. And they voiced those words that said more about them than about the act. Why this waste? Why this waste? And just like when you send a computer message and you wish you could take it back, they must have wished they could take it back. How horrible it sounded. Not only had they not misunderstood Jesus, what he was going through, how he felt, the danger he was facing, his utterly feeling utterly alone and them not being there for them. Not only that, but they added insult to injury. They referred to this act of love as a waste. I've done that before, haven't you? Completely miscalculated seeing acts of extravagant love as wasteful, unnecessary, inappropriate. And then in the presence of the very one who came to serve and love, care for the poor, and did more for the poor than anyone before or after, they had the indignity to feign self-righteousness and say these words, "This should have been given to the poor." Oh my. I've done that, have you? Missed Jesus altogether, missed the point, failed to see the importance of the moment, gotten caught up in my own stuff, my own self-righteous acting, totally, completely missing the other person, what they were going through, what they were feeling, what was needed in that moment. I remember it well with one of you here. I admire you so much. I still do. I think of you as a model for me. And there was that one particular time when you needed somebody to listen, and I just peppered you with questions about stuff. And I missed the point. We do that, don't we? We do it in our homes. We get in an argument with our spouse, and then it leads to this and this, and then finally to righteous indignation, oh, for crying out loud. I wonder if the disciples felt as I do, looking back, the sharp, searing pain of regret. Oh my, why did I say that? If only I would have thought that through. Imagine them a week later, their Lord and Savior hanging on that cross, and they said, "Why this waste? How did we not see? How could we have been so cold, so miserably off base? Will we ever learn?" Jesus needed us to understand, to be there for him. We fell asleep. We said things we can't take back. We will always have opportunities to care for the poor. But this night, this one night, we had the chance to tell Jesus how much we loved him, and we blew it. But thank God for Mary. Thank God that she knew. She knew that time was running out. It was time to express her love. Thank God for Mary that she was compelled by this deep sense of gratitude and overwhelming love. What possessed her to do what we were too blind to do, too fearful to do, too reserved to do, too calculating to do? Was it her woman's intuition that somehow she knew that tonight was the last chance? That after tonight, events would take on a life of their own? Or was it that she was filled to overflowing love with the love that the rest of us weren't? Perfect love casts out fear. She knew no fear. It was perfect, unadulterated love that caused her to move into that room and break open that alabaster jar. No fear of rejection. Filled with gratitude, and nothing was going to keep her from doing it. I don't think she even calculated the cost. She thought about that little jar of expensive perfume. It was the least she could do. She took it, she broke open it, and came in and poured it on his head in deep love for Jesus. What had he done for her? Healed her, forgiven her, given her a life. The same things he's done for you and for me. And what have we done? Why did she do it? What did she do? What did she have that I don't have? Thank God for Mary. And how did Jesus respond? Leave her alone. She's done a beautiful thing for me. And everywhere the gospel is told, her story will be told. Can't you picture Jesus as he looks at Mary with deep appreciation? She alone had understood. She's done a beautiful thing for me. And what she's done will be told in all generations. And every act of love that you and I do in the name of Christ will have a life of its own into eternity. It was just a tiny jar. I want so strongly for Jesus to be able to say to me one day, Dan, what you've done for me is a beautiful thing. And I remove myself from my calculating, from my practicality, from my rationality. Will you join me? Will you let yourself get out of your mind and into your heart? Let yourself be like Mary. Break open your life and pour it out in adoration, in unmitigated love for the one who gave himself for you. Picture him that night. Let yourself be broken. I love you, Lord. I lift my voice in worship of you. Would you pray with me? Oh God, these are sacred moments. We've entered that room in Bethany. Courtney took us there. And now we're at your feet. God, thank you that you don't look askance at us for missed opportunities, but you give us this moment to bow in our hearts and pour out our love for you. For you who give us life. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.